Hey everyone! It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life! Chatting with Albert Williams, I really enjoyed his perspective on quilting, to learn how it helped him and how it complements his relationship with Terry. Again, I want to thank him for his service to our country. So thank you for being with me today, Albert, on A Quilter's Life.
Well, thanks for coming and interviewing me. I mean, it's new to me.
Let's start with your background. Where were you born and raised?
Canton, Ohio. I was raised around here for half of my childhood.
Okay, so when did you move down here from Canton?
I was young.
Okay.
But then I lived in Dayton also, so.
Okay.
We moved around a lot. We had parents weren't that great, but.
Uh-huh. Do you have siblings?
I have one adopted.
Okay.
And he's 44, I think.
Okay.
But other than that, no.
Yeah. So I wanted to thank you for your service in the military. I really appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
And how long were you in?
29 and a half years.
Wow. That's quite a career.
Yeah, I started in 76. Then I took about 8 years off, and then I just retired in March.
Oh, so recently.
Yeah. So it seemed like forever, but
yeah.
Now you look back and it don't seem like it was that long ago.
Yeah. I know in the military they have different jobs. Did you do several different jobs or did you mainly stick to one job in the military?
I had like 14 different jobs. So I started out in the infantry and then I ended up, got out in the supply.
Okay.
And then I was a cook, I was an electrician, I was a plumber.
Wow.
I've done about everything.
Did you have a favorite job in the military?
No, not really.
No?
Every job is, you make what you want of it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the jobs are great, but then after a while, they just got made to change.
Yeah.
And if you don't change, then you get stuck in a rut and you just don't go anywhere.
So did you usually request a change of job?
No, I just put in for a new school.
Okay.
And then when they put you in for a new school and you go to it, then when you come back, instead of going to your old job, you go to a new job. It works out pretty well that way.
Yeah. Did you get to travel to other countries?
I've been around the world 3 or 4 times. I've been 6 months in one country and moved on to another one.
Yeah.
So it's never changed. I mean, it changes all the time, but my last 8-10 years, I've spent more time out of the country than in the country.
Really?
Yep. So it's been to Afghanistan, I've been to Iraq, been all them places.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing. And one country is just like any other country.
Yeah.
Just the scenery changes. Here you got trees and stuff, and some countries you got mountains and deserts. And that doesn't change.
No. I noticed on the way in here, the sewing table, and noticed that you do woodworking. How did you get into woodworking?
Didn't like the stuff you was buying. And I like working with wood. Wood, it's easier to work with wood than it is material. At least when you cut something, it don't
move. It doesn't move on you.
Now the material, it stretches and it's no more challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But woodworking is, I guess when I started woodworking and cutting angles and stuff, then it just flowed over into quilting.
Right.
And just because a guy says he can cut a board at a 45-degree angle don't mean he can sew it at a 45-degree angle.
Uh-huh.
I found that out the hard way. So it all works. and I may not look like it, but the woodworking works into your quilting because your panels, and you can put panels into your woodworking, and it all interchanges. So it's helpful in a way. And then if you can read tape measure, you need to read it. That's the important part.
So it's the same with woodworking as in quilting. Measure twice, cut once.
No. In the woodworking, that's the way you do it. Now quilting, you measure 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
If not, you woodworking, you can go back and fix it, maybe.
Yeah.
Quilting, you can't. After you once cut it, it's done.
Yeah.
So woodworking is a little more forgiving than quilting.
Huh, that's interesting.
So it's, man, if you cut a board 1/8 inch too short, you can go to the other side and cut that 1/8 inch too short and still put your ends in. Oh, I'm quoting. You're done. Because if you cut this side 1/8 inch short, and the other side 1/8 inch short, then your middle is cut, and then you lose your points or half your pattern.
Yeah.
So it's not, woodworking is easier than quilting.
I think you're a little more precise on your quilting than I am. But that's great.
But if you're going to do something, why not do it right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're supposed to have, I mean, if you look out there on some of them stuff, I got real good points on them. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff I ain't got very good. Them first ones I made.
Yeah.
And if you look at the one spinning star, it don't even look like spinning star because I put the colors in the wrong spots.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's, I can take it apart and put it together differently, but that's just a reminder that you can make. And I made a whole quilt that way.
Yeah.
Well, before I figured out that it wasn't the right one.
But it just made a different design, right?
Yep, that's it. So, I mean, in that way, it's easy. Mm-hmm. Where in woodwork, if you put stain on it, you're done.
Okay.
But in quilting, you can keep going and make a decent pattern. Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever figured out that I messed that one up. Even the person quilting it didn't say nothing about it.
No.
So that's good.
Yeah. Are there other hobbies that you do?
Just remodeling.
Remodeling?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't. Just like the front porch was all that Luger, like trailer windows.
Okay. Yeah.
We got rid of all of that and put that in.
Wow.
Now the back porch is about halfway done. But I'm putting bigger windows in, and I'm going to put the sewing room on the back porch. So it'll work out better that way. But as hobbies, well, you see all the flowers and stuff. We plant flowers all the time. And I clean the brush. This place was real brushy when we got it. And we cut the brush down and planted trees and stuff. And it's never done.
No.
So, I mean, you might think you get done on this side of the house, and you look at the other side and say, it don't work. And we took all the white siding off and put on the clay siding. Makes it look totally different house.
Uh-huh.
So it's, hobbies is like jobs.
Yeah.
And if you start a hobby, you might as well start a new job.
It's a job you don't get paid for.
Yep.
Who introduced you to quilting?
Terry. When I was a kid, we made little squares and sewed them together and took needle and thread and tied knots and stuff. And And when I told her I could do that, she said, "That's not quilt. This is quilt." And she said, anybody can sit down, sew squares together and say, "I quilt it." But just anybody can't sew patterns together and make them come out different.
Yeah.
And when I made the first quilt, she hollered at me about the points not being right. And every time you put something together, you got to square it before you go to the next one. So she, don't tell her, she helped me about 100% of figuring out how to square everything and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, because when you're squaring wood, it's easier to square it. But when the material's moving on you, it's a lot harder to square than. If it wasn't for her, I would still be making crooked points.
That's beautiful. I can see that first one you just mentioned. And can you describe it so people can get a picture in their mind, maybe?
Well, actually, it's just a star pattern. I don't even know what kind of star it is. But she started one like that, and I started one. Hers was red and greens. And I ended up using blues, and we wanted to see who could do that. Hers turned out better. But mine turned out fairly good.
It looks great.
For the first quilt, that's a pretty good quilt.
Very good.
And we've been to several quilt shows. We went to Grantsville, Maryland. They got a stone bridge and stuff down there. And they have little log cabins sitting around. Different people do. Some people do quilting, some people do woodwork, some people do pottery, but they're selling quilts down there for $1,200, $1,400. And if you look at them, that one's just as good as one of their quilts.
Yeah.
But now the quilt I made and just took over to get quilted, in their price range, I'd say I got a $2,100 quilt. If you look at all the points and stuff.
Yeah.
But then them places just putting out quilts because it's for profit, and a lot of these people coming from out of town has no idea what a quilt really looks like.
Yeah.
And it takes them, they're willing to pay money for doing nothing. Just say, I got a quilt. But if you're willing to make one, then you understand what it takes to make one. It's not the money that it's what you take all these little pieces and put together and come out.
Yeah.
I mean, the money, if I was in it for the money, I'd be selling them, but I'd rather make one or two a year and give them to somebody that would appreciate them more than the money they could get out of it.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that.
Okay, out of the quilts you have made, do you have a favorite one so far?
No, I only made three. But I guess the one I give Attorney Triplett would have been my favorite one. Because that one, everything turned out perfect. And it wasn't, I think it was 52 by 66 or something like that. It wasn't a real big one.
But that's a nice size.
It turned out really nice, and it fits the hospital bed and the nursing home bed. It fits it pretty good. It's not dragging on the floor and stuff. And if he puts it, holds it up a little bit, the wheelchair don't get all tangled up in it.
Oh, good.
So it's getting really used well.
Yeah. I like it when my quilts can be used.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite tool?
There's only one. Seam ripper. That's the favorite tool of it all.
I think that's the favorite tool of very good quilters. So.
Well, that's... I mean, you use your squares and stuff, but you use them, everybody else uses them. But when you can use a seam ripper, not poke holes in the material, and you get one that works, because that's the one you use more than squares, more than the sewing machine, because it takes a lot longer to take the seams out.
Yeah.
So that's may not be the really favorite one, but it's
a good one.
It's called your best friend in this.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, all the squares and stuff you can have, but it can't cut out a seam and it can't put a seam in and can't straighten up, help you straighten up the mess you make.
Yeah.
But that would be the one.
My next question goes on the favorite part of quilting. There's different parts of the process from beginning to end. What parts do you like and what parts don't you like?
I don't know. I never really thought about that because, I mean, quilting here is, me and Terry get to spend more time together, and it just seems to go. It's not that it's more fun cutting out or it's better to put them together. When we started quilting, the lady at Willow Quilting,
yes,
could tell who sewed what. And now that we're sewing together, she can't tell if I sewed it or if she sewed it.
Huh.
And that, you know, it's not a favorite part, or it's not, I don't see how you could have a favorite part. I mean, when you take and cut a piece of material and take the sewing machine, sew it together, there's no, I don't know. I think it just brought us closer together.
Yeah, that's great.
But as a favorite part of quilting, there's really not, I mean.
I'm curious, how do you put your binding on? Do you do it with the machine or do you hand sew?
I've not made that far yet.
Oh, okay.
That's the reason we have other people quilt for us.
Okay.
We put the tops together.
Uh-huh.
And we get all the parts.
Yeah.
And we can cut the 2.5-inch strips. Okay, I understand how to use a machine and put the front of the binding on to the front.
Right.
And then you take a 2.5-inch seam and you fold it in half and then you double it again on each half.
Right.
But I haven't figured out the part that, where they make the stitch and make it disappear when they pull it through.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it. And I'm, over on the west side is, there is a place in there, I can't remember the name of it, but they give quilting classes, they give sewing classes, they give woodworking classes, stained glass classes.
Really?
It costs $40 a month, but you can go in there all you want. And they have certain classes during the week. And they have people that have been doing this stuff for a long time, where you go in and they can show you how to do better. Over the summer, they had a class where they built a canoe. And you can go over there, and the guy more than happy to give you a tour of the place and show you. They have all the tools. They have about everything. But then, before I worry about the binding, I want to learn how to do the long arm quilting first.
Yeah.
And that would fall into like running your jigsaw or your scroll saws and all that. It's no more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have the patterns. We've been looking into it for last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And they got the pattern where you're going to either design your own pattern, pre-sew it.
Yeah.
Or you've got on some of the tables, you've got a pattern you can put in the back, and it's got a guide that goes in the pattern and sews at the same time.
Oh.
And I have to just guide it back here, and it sews everything up there.
Wow.
And I understand that you can only do 2 foot of it at a time. And then you got to remember where you're at and start and go back and roll all your stuff. I'm getting it down. But I'm going to do a class, and she wants to do a class. And then we might build a building and put one in here and do it all ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, it's more fun making the top.
Yeah.
Getting the batting, getting the backing, and then somebody that's more experienced do the actual quilting.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to pick out the designs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that is a step closer to, but as for, I've never put a binding on.
Oh, okay. Do you have a worst quilting experience yet?
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Not yet.
Everything is good. I've only been doing it for 6 months. Well, the beginning of summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't have a whole lot of time. This thing really, when she got me into it, I'm here by myself. I got PTSD or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And I can go to bed at midnight, be up at 1:30, and then be up all night.
Yeah.
So I can sit out there at nighttime and I can sew, and it's relaxing. Mm-hmm. And you can make mistakes. Nobody else here know it.
Then yeah.
You just tear it apart, put it back together, and keep on going. And then, sometimes I never hardly sew in the daylight. And sometimes I sew all day long. It's just how the other thing, the mood and stuff. If you're not in the mood to sew, you can't sew. If you're not in the mood to do woodworking, you can't do that.
Uh-huh.
You just got to be ready to sit down and do that. You can't just say, I'm going out and sew, and nothing's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of that, that's makes it easier because, I didn't think at first I would like it, and I don't know if it's the rhythm of the sewing machine or whatever, but it's just relaxing and
soothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like some people might listen to ocean background noise to relax. Well, sewing machine works great too.
Yeah.
So that's therapy in a way, so, and it helps a lot of things.
Yeah.
And if more people learn to do something like that, they'd probably be better off than what they are now.
Yeah. And then you have something to show for what you've
done. Yep, after you're done, you got something to show for the time you spent, and it's not a bad thing. And if you take pictures of it and you give it away, and you still got something to show for it.
Right.
And you got a better experience when other people appreciate it and mm-hmm. you was willing to give it to them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can, I can come to your house and say, here's $100, go do what you want. Or I can take your kid out and say, well, here's $100, go to the mall and do whatever you want, just get out of my hair. But when you can sit down with somebody like Terry or something, and you're both beginning, so you can learn something from her and she can learn something from you. And it all works out and everybody's better off at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just covered my next question.
Oh, okay.
So that I think that answers why do you make quilts?
Yep, that's the reason I make them. I mean, it ain't nothing that I have to do. And if you had to do it for a job, you wouldn't want it. A job gets just like your job at nighttime. After a while, them numbers just don't mean nothing. They're just numbers. Quilt, it means a lot, the way you take and, it shows your personality, the colors and the patterns you use. It's not just a job and you push it through and somebody else does the next part. And then at the end of the day, you go to Walmart and buy it. You can't buy that at Walmart.
No, you cannot. Let's go into a little more detail on who you make your quilts for.
I don't make them for anybody.
Okay.
I just make them, and then if, just like the eagle one I made for Tony Triplett. I was working on it, and then when he started having his problems, and he's a veteran, and I just figured I'm going to just finish this and give it to him, and it might brighten his day, it might make him feel better in the nursing home or whatever, and it was just, that quilt, next week I might give it to somebody, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make them for any particular reason. Except the satisfaction that I made it, and that it's helping me with some of my problems. Bed for, have you ever made one for a reason?
My husband is one of 10 children.
Okay.
And I'm one of four. And I tend to make them for my nieces and nephews' children. So.
Okay, you got it.
There's a lot of them. I'm behind.
I have 10. I'm a family of 10.
Uh-huh.
I don't talk to none of them. I'm different than you are. And I'm the black sheep of the family.
No.
So I don't have that problem. I just make quilts.
Yeah.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
And it's nice when you can show somebody a quilt and they appreciate it just as much as you do.
Yeah.
So that's, there's nothing, I don't know, it's just something relaxing and something that a lot of people can get out of it more than just one person. And,
right.
And you can't just go to the store and buy one. That's, I mean, you can go buy them, but still they're not a handmade. And these ones really not handmade. I mean, you use sewing machine stuff, but it's still one person's thought on a piece of material, where people that paint and stuff, it's one person's thought on a painting, and a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
So it works out.
You've given several good tips, like being careful with your seams and cutting to get your points down. Are there any other tips that you'd want to share?
No, I don't know. You got to look at it from my point of view. I can't read a pattern. She can look at the pattern. She has to have a pattern to go by.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can watch her do something, and I can duplicate. And if you sit down and look at a pattern, you can't figure it out in the numbers and the WOFs and LOFs and all that stuff. Don't make sense to you.
Uh-huh.
Get with somebody that understands that stuff, because there's two different people in the world. You got people that can do it out of the book, and you got people that has to have a hands-on to do it. And you get two of them people like us, it all just works.
Yeah, you complement each other.
Yep.
That's great.
That's the best tip you can get. And it, ain't nobody can sit down and do anything totally by yourself.
Right.
And you gotta have, I mean, we're at the point now that we're still learning, but we go to quilt shows and talk to people, and and people in the quilt are a whole lot nicer people than people in other. You can go to baseball card shows, you can go to any kind of exhibit they want to put on. But quilting people, for the most part, I've found out, if I need to know something or I don't know something, I ask you, I'll get an answer. It's not, well, you got to pay me $10 an hour and I'll show you, or why don't you buy this pattern and it'll tell you. Even though they're selling the pattern, they're willing to say, well, if you overlap this way so far and that way so far, fold it in half and you can get a 45. You know, they're willing to tell you that, and you don't have to buy nothing from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, I go to some of these quilt shops and I'm the only man in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like six, seven women, and they like to pick on me. But it don't matter.
Huh.
I'm still learning from some of the stuff they tell me that, oh, you'll never be able to do this, and this is how it's done. And they're still teaching me something they don't even understand they're teaching me.
Yeah.
So it all works out to them, and that's the reason I'm doing it now.
That's great.
But if people want to do something, and, you know, anybody can do anything they want to if they set their mind to it, even this. And it don't matter if you're male, female, or And some males that they can pick up colors better than females. Females can pick up better designs, but and if you get to like me and Terry, we both can pick up the same stuff, and a lot of times we work on this stuff on phones. And she can still sometimes tell me where I'm messing up. Sometimes she can't. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand that she's telling me this way to do it, and it just don't click in my head. And then when she's here and shows me, then all falls in place.
Yeah.
So you gotta have somebody that you can feel really comfortable with and do whatever and understand what they're telling you. So, that's that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with me. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
This first time anybody want to interview me about what I would do. Most of the time they just don't want to know nothing about what I'm doing. You know how that is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, years ago they used to want to know exactly what you've done in the military. Nowadays, they don't care what you do in the military. They don't even care if you're in the military. So it's nice when somebody cares enough about what you're doing to actually come out interviewing people.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.